For the rest of you who are staying behind, if you'll turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 38 through 42. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and today is one of those passages that it's like it hits you with a 2x4. Before I start the sermon proper, let me just say that I think these verses are some of the verses in Scripture that we are tempted to try to explain away what Jesus is saying and wriggle our way out from under them. And maybe I'll even do that in the sermon. It is possible. But what I want to encourage all of us to do today is hear what Jesus says and take it to heart and say, what if this is really true? What if this really is the way of God? Because it is. And this is what Jesus says, starting in verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you. And do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. That is the word of God. Let's pray. Jesus, help us today. These are hard words. They rub against the grain of the way we want to do things. Show us how to understand your word correctly. Show us how to apply it correctly in our situations and help us to grow in what your word says, because we want to be like you. You are our Savior. You are our King. You have loved us with this steadfast, sacrificial love. And we want to demonstrate that love to each other and to people outside of this room. So help us. We cannot do this apart from your work in us by your Spirit. And so, Father, sanctify us by your truth today, that we would look more like Jesus in the way we interact with others. We pray in his name. Amen. In the movie version of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, not the book version, but the movie version, three characters, Harry, Hermione, and Ron, have been sneaking around the school, Hogwarts, and they come in contact with this three-headed dog who was named Fluffy, by the way, and they see that this dog is guarding something, and then they rush back to their rooms. And as they're discussing it, Hermione says, "Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed, or worse, expelled." And Ron says, "She needs to sort out her priorities." And I'm sure if you were thinking about whether you'd be expelled from school or whether you'd be killed, you would say, of course, expelled is less of a deal than being killed. And so you would say, yeah, you need to sort out your priorities. I wonder how many of us, when we read this passage in Scripture, are saying the same thing to Jesus. Jesus, you really need to sort out priorities. I mean, for real, if someone slaps me, I'm to turn the other cheek. If someone sues me for one thing, I'm going to give them something else. If a person forces me to go 1 mile, I'm going to go 2 miles. If someone asks me, I should give generously. But what if we are the ones who need to sort out our priorities? What if we are the ones who are wrong in the way that we do things? And Jesus' words are really a corrective to us. Would you be willing to go with me down that path today and just see if what Jesus says really is gospel truth, biblical truth? Let's start off by kind of giving a summary of what I think Jesus is really getting at in this passage. We've called this series a kingdom manifesto because the king is speaking to his citizens and he's saying, look, this is what the priorities of the kingdom are. This is what the ethic of the kingdom is like. And if you are members of that kingdom, you should display these kinds of things. And so in this passage, Jesus is basically saying that citizens of the kingdom of Christ are called to an ethic of patient, self-sacrificial love. We're called to an ethic of patient, self-sacrificial love. Now, in a sense, all of Scripture, every command of God can be summarized, and we've said this many times before, can be summarized by one thing: love. Love God, love your neighbor. And so we know that that's true. But what Jesus does in this passage is he pushes the boundaries of how we think about love. And he upends our views of what love really looks like. Again, talking about turning the other cheek or going the extra mile, allowing people to sue you and giving them extra, giving to people who beg from us, it almost sounds like some weird socialistic type of thing, doesn't it? Like, how can this be true? This doesn't sound like American Christianity. And maybe it's not American Christianity. Maybe it's just Christianity. If you think about the biblical understanding of what love is, love always has the best interests of the other person in mind. I think we can all agree to that on some level, that real love, biblical love, true love, always has another person's best interest in mind. And with that in mind, I think that helps to understand what Jesus is doing in this passage. But before we get there, we need to set the groundwork. And the ethic that Jesus is calling us to, this self-sacrificial, this patient love, this ethic is grounded in the character and actions of our King. It's Jesus' character. It's His actions. The King of kings and Lord of lords, it's who He is. He sets the precedent for what everybody else in the kingdom should be like. Not me. Not you. Not the PCA. Not any church. Jesus. He is the one who calls the shots. He is the one who says, this is how it should be done. And we are followers of Christ, which is what we call ourselves. then we're going to follow in his footsteps when it comes to his character and his actions. So when Jesus is talking about not resisting the one who is evil, but turning the other cheek, have you ever thought about how Jesus himself fulfilled that? Jesus allowed sinners to beat him and spit upon him and mock him and even crucify him. And why? Was it because he had a martyr complex? Was it because he was a pushover? Was it because he was just basically a doormat and he let people walk all over him? No, it was because of his patient, self-sacrificial love for others. It's the same Jesus who is beaten and spit upon and mocked and crucified, who cries out, "Father, forgive them." Because they don't know what they're doing. This Jesus who calls us to, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. This Jesus who says, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. This is the Jesus who left the glory and the wonder of heaven, and he came to earth out of love for people like me and you. He suffered at the hands of sinners out of love for me and you. Jesus even laid down his life out of love for me and you. If anybody can say this person demonstrates, this person exemplifies patience, self-sacrificial love, it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. A man who was betrayed by one of his own followers, a man who was taken captive, and even though he could have broken free easily and called a legion of angels to just wipe out the entire crew, he doesn't do it. When he was falsely accused by those in the crowd, he did not go on the offensive and attack them. When they spit in his face and they struck him and they mocked him, he did not retaliate. When he was mocked, When they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they gave him a reed, and they struck him on the head, he did not retaliate. And literally, when in John 18 we read about how one of the officers standing at Jesus' trial struck Jesus with his hand. He backhanded him. And Jesus said this, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" And that's all he said. This is the one about whom Isaiah wrote that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. We esteemed him not. He bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, not for his own. You want to talk about somebody suing you and taking something from you? Jesus doesn't sue us, but he takes something from us. He took our sin, and he bore it on the cross for us so that we would have a right relationship with our God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way, but the Father laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And even though he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was like a lamb being led to the slaughter, and like sheep before its shears, he was silent. He opened not his mouth. In other words, even though Jesus could have rightly gone after these guys for what they did, it was all wrong. And here is the King of Kings, and they are attacking him. He refused. Why? Out of love for you. Out of love for me. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that Jesus did those things for us. He endured suffering that most of us will never, ever even come close to experiencing out of love for us. And that's the ground. That's the foundation of when Jesus says, okay, and now I want you to live this way. That's why. This isn't another set of rules to live by, another set of regulations. What he's saying is, this is my character, these are my actions, you see who I am, now I want you to be like me. Now before we go on, let me ask you, does that excite you or does it scare you? Does it bother you? Or do you think, yeah, I do want to be like Jesus? Or maybe you feel a little bit of both, all of the above, and you struggle. And if that's where you are, you're in a great place. Because everybody in this room probably would answer all of the above. We want to be like Jesus, but it's a struggle sometimes. Because we also want our way. We want things to be our way. And sometimes our way isn't Jesus' way. So let's take a look at this ethic. And I'm going to try to go through this as quickly as I can, but we're going to have to at least unpack some of this. This ethic that Jesus calls us to, that's grounded in his character and his actions, this patient, self-sacrificial love for others. This ethic is expressed in several ways. First of all, we do not repay evil for evil. That's first on Jesus' agenda here. We do not repay evil for evil. He says here in verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now let's stop there for a moment and explain the context of that quote, because that's a quote directly from Scripture. In fact, it happens three times. It occurs in Exodus 21, Leviticus 24, and Deuteronomy 19. And in every one of those passages, it's not about personal injury and how the person deals with the personal injury. It's about personal injury that goes to the court. This was a law given specifically for the civil law courts. It was never intended as a rule for how an individual should, quote unquote, take matters into his own hands. And yet that's what many people have done. In fact, that's pretty much what we tend to do anyway. You hurt me, I get to hurt you back. You take something from me, I get to take something from you. And if you're a parent, let's face it, you've seen that with your own children. Why did you hit your sister? She hit me first. Right? And this is the way we deal with when we are personally injured. But this was never given in the of personal relationship, how I should respond if you hurt me. This is how the judges, how the people who were in charge of those kinds of things to settle matters were to settle the matter. And it was given for these judges in Israel in order to settle issues among the people fairly. If you forgive the analogy, if I forgive the illustration, but if you take my eye out, it's not right for then you to, for me to go and kill your entire family. That's wrong. So it's an eye for an eye. Whatever you did, the judge gives the sentence that it's done to you. This rule was given to make sure that everyone was treated fairly, whether rich or poor. This rule was given to keep people from being vigilantes and taking matters into their own hands. This rule was to keep violent escalation from happening. Because you can imagine this. You know, someone hits you on your cheek, and then you go and gouge out their eye, and then they go kill your sheep, and then you go and kill their entire family. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And this command was to say, no, none of that. You take it to the judges, you take it to the court settles it, and it's tit for tat. Fairness. But then again, the problem that Jesus is addressing is not the issue of the court, it is the issue of how we as individuals deal with how we are harmed, how we are wronged. And so Jesus says, you've heard it said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to the other also. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been slapped. I have. It is not a pleasant experience. I was slapped by my fourth grade teacher. Yes, they could do that back then and not get in trouble. I was slapped by my parents. I was slapped by other people. Apparently, slapping was a thing back then. And let me just say, I probably deserved every one of those slaps. But if you can imagine being slapped backhanded, it doesn't just hurt, it brings shame and disgrace upon you. Now, if you're slapped that way, what would your response be? Would it be retaliation? Would it be hatred? Would it be tit for tat? Jesus says, don't do that. Don't go there. Show patient, self-sacrificial love. And think about it this way. In this same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus eventually will say, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, let me ask you. If you lost your temper one day and you slapped somebody, how would you want them to treat you at that moment? Oh, slap me back. I deserve it. Or would you want them to go, what's up with you? Why are you doing that? Why'd you slap me? And not retaliate. Of course, I think most of us, unless you just kind of have one of those, you know, martyrs complex and you like to be beat up, you probably say, no, I don't want to be hit again. I don't want that retaliation on me. I would hope that they would be gracious and kind to me. Then do to others as you would have them to do to you. Be patient. Be sacrificial in your love towards another person. Or as Paul says in Romans, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What Jesus is saying here is that if you as an individual are attacked in some way, think about how you can respond in a loving manner, in a patient, self-sacrificial manner. Now, a couple of things, because I know there's some of you who are going, but what about? Jesus is not telling us that we cannot remove ourselves from difficult situations, all right? Let me just tell you, if you are a spouse and you are being beaten by your spouse, that's not a good situation to say, oh, I'm going to keep turning the other cheek and hope that this will turn that person over. That is not. Removing yourself sometimes can be the most loving and patient thing you can do. But you're not removing yourself out of retaliation. You're removing yourself out of love for the other person. Sometimes some tough love needs to be given, where you don't let somebody get away with something over and over again without confronting them in some way. And maybe that confronting is gentle and kind and loving, and it should be. But you should never use this passage as a means to say, oh, well, I just should just let everybody beat up on me no matter what. That's not what Jesus is saying. No, what he's saying is, find the way to love that person in that case. The other thing that I want to mention is that this has nothing to do with about whether you should defend another person or not. Some people use this to say we should never defend anybody. And so if we see somebody getting beat up, we should just let the person get beat up. That's not what Jesus is saying. Love your neighbor as yourself would mean if you see someone getting beat up, you put yourself in between that person who's getting beat up and the person who's beating them up. And you sacrifice yourself for the good of that person. That's patient, self-sacrificial love for another. That's what Jesus did, right? He got in between the Father's wrath that we sang about this morning and us. And he drank the entire cup for us, so that we would be free from that wrath. So what Jesus is talking about is love. Thinking about how can I love this person in this context as an individual. And love always has the best interest of the other person in mind. Second, Jesus wants us to know not only that we don't repay evil for evil, but we do not selfishly demand our rights. Okay. We don't selfishly demand our rights. Now, if that doesn't rub against the grain of our society, I don't know what does. Right now, in our society, the most important value is to stand up for your rights. Isn't that right? I think it is. I mean, everywhere I look, I have the right to be what I want to be. I have the right to do whatever I want to do. That's the American way. Well, let me just tell you, if, and I don't think that really is the American way, but if it is, then Christians should be the first to stand up and say, no, not necessarily. There are times when we stand up for the rights of others, for sure. But for your own individual rights, for your personal rights, sometimes it's better to lay down your rights for the good of another person. Jesus says it this way. You've heard that it was said an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. But verse 40, I tell you that if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, this terminology doesn't really fit with us, so let me try to explain. A tunic would basically be the garment that's worn next to the skin. And a cloak would be something like a long coat or something like that that's over top of that. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 22, a person could sue you for various things, but he could not take from you your cloak, because on a cold night, you need that to keep you warm. Now think about what Jesus is saying. Someone sues you to take that inner garment. And you say, you know what? If that's what you want something that petty, that small from me, don't just take that. Take this thing that will keep me warm. Sometimes laying down your rights is the best way to show love to others. And in our society, that sounds ridiculous. But love always has the other person's best interest in mind. And if you can gather that by saying, you know what, I love you more than I love my possessions, and if this is really what's standing in between me and you, have it. Take it. It's not worth it. It's just a piece of cloth. But my relationship with you, now that's more important. What do you think that would do to somebody? If they're suing you over a possession and you say the possession isn't as important as you are. Again, think about it in terms of what is the loving response, self-sacrificial, patient love with another person that you have their best interests in mind. Jesus not only tells us that we should not repay evil for evil and that we should sometimes lay down our rights for the good of other people, but Jesus also tells us that we should serve others generously. Serve others generously. Again, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Verse 41, "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. This, by the way, is where we get that phrase, go the extra mile. Today, we mean it in terms of do more than is expected of you. And it doesn't always come in a context like this. The context in which Jesus is speaking is that at that time in the Roman Empire, Roman soldiers had the right to go up to any citizen, any person in the Roman Empire and say, I need you to help me, and you had to do it. If he said, I need you to carry my equipment for 1 mile, you were forced to do it. You had to do it, or else, of course, there would be major consequences. Jesus is telling his disciples, if a Roman soldier comes up to you and says, I want you to walk with me 1 mile and carry my stuff, you're not to balk at that, you're not to get frustrated with that, you're not to do it begrudgingly, but you are to serve them out of love and say, can I carry it for you another mile? Because love always has the best interest of the other person in mind. And Jesus is saying that sometimes we have to show patient, self-sacrificial love to those who are even using their authority over us in negative ways. Sometimes the best thing to do is to serve them well. It's like what I just read from Romans 12. If your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him something to drink. Love always has the best interest of the other person in mind. Finally, Jesus tells us not to repay evil for evil. He tells us not only that we have to sometimes lay down our rights for the good of others. We're not only to serve other people with generous hearts, but this fourth one, we are not tight-fisted when we have the means to help others. We are not tight-fisted. You want to show the love of Jesus to others? Don't be tight-fisted when you have the means to help others. Again, verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. Fairness. But Jesus says, verse 42, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now, here's where I would bet 75% of your minds go. You're out on the street and some guy wearing really bad clothes. You can tell he's probably been sleeping on the streets. He's got a bottle of alcohol in his hands, and he walks up to you and he says, "Hey, can you give me $5 for a meal?" Is Jesus saying that I should just hand the $5 over to him because that's what he asked for? I mean, and then the guy's going to go off and he's going to buy alcohol and he's just going to get more drunk, and that's bad for him. And does Jesus really know what he's talking about? What if we were to think about this a different way? Because we can use that kind of thinking to wiggle out from loving other people. What if the guy really is hungry? What if the guy really does need something to eat? And our fear that he might use it for the wrong reasons, we just say, "Well, you know what? What I'll do then is I just won't give him anything. I'll be tight-fisted." We can use that excuse for a lot of different cases, can't we? What if, instead of saying, "I'm not going to give you anything," what if you say, "Well, you know, young man, old man, whatever, whoever he is, I tell you what, if you want a meal, I will buy you one. There's a McDonald's right down the street. I'll buy you a Big Mac and a drink and some fries." What if we said, "Hey, look, I'll let you go with me to McDonald's and I'll sit with you and eat with you." There are all kinds of, may I say it, creative ways of being able to love people. Just like there are all kinds of creative ways of being able to wiggle our way out of loving people. And I think what Jesus is getting at here is when someone has a need, when someone comes to you, have at least in your heart of hearts this offer of generosity. Maybe what they will use will not be for their good. If you give them money, don't give them money then. Give them something else that will help them. Show love to them in another way. Because love always has the best interest of the other person in mind. And instead of thinking in terms of regulations, let's think in terms of how the generous love of God has been poured out on us in Christ, and we want to be generous with that love to others. We love because He first loved us. Now, everything that I've said so far, this tells us that the high calling of this ethic, it just shows us just how much we need the grace of God in Christ and the power of the Spirit in our lives. If this message in some fashion or form hasn't made you a little bit uncomfortable, you probably weren't listening. Because every single one of us deals with these issues. When we're hurt, we want to retaliate. I know that because that's what I do. And scriptures tell me that I'm not tempted in any way that you're not. And I know, even when those people that I love the most, like my wife and my children, sometimes they say something that's hard for me to hear, my first reaction sometimes is to want to retaliate. Well, that might be true about me, but you do this, right? That's retaliation. But Jesus says, no, don't go there. Don't go there. When somebody wants to take something of mine, like the other day, Saturday morning, we had cinnamon rolls. Beautiful, lovely, I mean, glistening in the sunlight, kind of, cinnamon rolls. And there was one, you know, the one in the middle that had just the right amount of that cream, cheesy, sugary thing that's on the top? You know what I'm talking about. That thing was gorgeous, and I claimed it as mine. Then my son says, I'd like that one. My first reaction was to say, no, I think you should have this one. This one would be better for you. To use my authority over him. And thankfully, the Lord, through this message, through this passage, was working on, you know what? Give to the one who asks. All right, you can have this. It's hard, though, because I really wanted it. But, you know, baby steps, okay? Baby steps. I'm not arrived. In every one of these cases, can I just encourage us, rather than trying to wiggle our way out of from under of loving people well, let's just ask the question, what does this person need right now? How can I love this person where they are right now? Are you willing to do that? I hope you are. Because if you're a citizen of the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom, that's what you're called to. And because he has sacrificed himself for you, you can have the power by the Holy Spirit to do exactly what he's called you to do. You just have to repent and believe. So because of God's grace to us in Christ, and by the power of the Spirit, let's cultivate among us this ethic of patient, self-sacrificial love. And let me pray for us. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Jesus, we need you, not only for forgiveness, but to transform our hearts so that even if it's just baby steps, even if it's just something as small as a cinnamon roll, that we lay down our quote-unquote rights, that we give generously, that when we're harmed by others, we don't retaliate, but we love. Grow us up in this kind of love. And whenever we lose track of it, fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who has sacrificed himself for us so that we, for the joy that is set before us, we too can endure whatever this life throws at us in love for you and love for others. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.